A few years ago, my wife, Jem, and I joined a tour group that visited Israel and Jordan. One of the most remarkable experiences we had was at the Dead Sea. When they call it dead, they aren't kidding. No plants on the shore, no evidence of life in the water, nothing. The experience brought to mind a passage, Ezekiel chapter 47, that has been a meaningful metaphor in my life and leadership for many years. In this chapter, God gave the prophet Ezekiel a vision of a future temple out of which flows an ever-expanding river that renews the desert and brings life to the Dead Sea. The temple itself is the place of God's presence, where His people acknowledge Him and worship Him, where we offer our gifts and our very selves. And the temple is the source of everything that happens in this vision. The river that flows out from the temple is living water, increasing as it moves away from the temple. The river flows on out through the wilderness into the Dead Sea and heals what is broken, refreshes what is dry and weary, nourishes what is hungry, and brings life to what is dead. What a beautiful vision of unhurried leadership. Unhurried leadership always has time for the temple. Becoming a temple. Central in this vision of blessing is a temple from which water begins to flow as a trickle. See Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 2. Earlier in the book of Ezekiel, the man who showed this vision to the prophet had shown him the empty temple being filled with God's presence. Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 4 through 5 reads, "The glory of the Lord entered the temple through the gate facing east. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple." God became gloriously present. And how do the servants of the temple respond to this presence? A few chapters earlier, Ezekiel mentions in Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 46, that the sons of Zadok were the only Levites allowed to draw near to the Lord to minister before Him. This is a potent statement about our primary work in kingdom leadership. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to have lunch with a monk who was in his 90s. I asked him about his ministry at the monastery. I wondered what roles or tasks he was responsible for at his advanced age. When I said, "What is your main ministry here at the monastery?" I was expecting some job title or list of tasks. The monk's answer? God. One word. He didn't tell me about any monastery jobs he did. He understood his primary ministry is not so much for God, but to God. His life was rooted in God. What if we thought about our work and our responsibilities as a ministry to God? We could choose to regard our relationships, our opportunities, and our responsibilities as places through which God's living water flows from Him through us to others. Like this monk, we can choose to see that our first work is not what we do for others, but what we do with God. We draw near to minister to God, and we live our lives and lead God's people from this abundant and glorious place of communion with Him. When I think about people whose lives have influenced me, of course, I remember things they've done for me or said to me, but often I remember even more clearly something about the kind of person each of these men and women has been with me. Let me share with you an example. Many years ago, I served as